When you take a look at Bible prophecy and you start to think about what literally could start to unfold upon the earth, it becomes a highly motivating study to understand how will these things play out on the earth. So I want to talk about this in the context of 2020 Vision Part 2. There's a good likelihood that when I get back, we're going to continue on this 2020 Vision as we're going to be looking at 2 Thessalonians. And some of the very key things that you and I can be aware of that is still coming and are part of the believer's future, and certainly things that are going to take place upon the earth. If you ever had to make sure you were up at 3 a.m., right? You know that look? But you happen to hit the snooze button, the next thing you realize when you open your eyes again, it reads this. You missed that flight, or it's a rough morning. I mean, sometimes you got to get up early to get out early. You got to get somewhere, because if you get up early, you got to get on the other side of the city. It's smart when you have 3 a.m. as your wake-up goal, but it's now it's 6, and you just know the feeling, right? Some of us just know what it's like, and we never want to see a repeat of that again. The tension and the torment just starts to, we feel horrible. You know, you snoozed, you losed, right? You are late. And how do you get back on schedule? You pray, right? That's always the right thing to do. You know, sometimes we just say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to recover from this at this moment, but I'm going to pray and ask you, I'm going to turn this over to you. Do you realize that our Lord has a schedule and He's keeping it? All right? And He wants us both to know it. He wants us to be awake to see it, and He wants us to expect it. You don't want to miss it. J. Vernon McGee calls this the Christian's actions. In this particular chapter of 1 Thessalonians 5, this is the Christian's actions in view of the return of the Lord Jesus, the coming of Christ. It's the rousing hope that leads to effective action. Jesus keeps His promises. Are you ready? We are told to keep our eyes on Him because we will see Him. Jesus speaking to, in those final moments with His disciples, He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in Me. He's telling them to believe in Him because He's God in human flesh. He would go on to say, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God wants you with Him. Not just in heaven, but now. See, that's the big difference between just focusing on that, oh, I'm ready for heaven. Are you ready to live now for Jesus? Are you ready to live in a way that would just honor Him and it would show forth that you know that your future address is absolutely heaven and you're living now as a citizen of heaven here on this earth? And you can live in a way that glorifies God, and there's probably no clearer instructions of how we are due to do that than what's spelled out here as we're going to talk about this 2020 vision idea, part 2. Jesus would say, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And you know, and the way you know. Jesus would go on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. Wow. No one comes to the Father but through Me. That's Jesus, not the pastor. All right. I will help you get to Him the best of my ability. I want to help us maintain clear and an articulate vision of how we continue to see Jesus clearly. Thank God for our Sunday school classes. Thank you, Mark and Dennis, who are committed to helping to fortify the saints. You guys, I'm telling you, we're going to be eating from banquet tables here every week. You want to be a fat Christian, okay? You want to be fat. Someone said, what's that? Able and teachable. Somebody knows that what the fat really stands for. I can't think of what the F stands for. Anyway, grow up in Jesus, right? And get big. Faithful, available, teachable. There you go. Thank you, God. Okay. Let's take a look at this particular chapter, chapter 5. All the words are going to be up on the screen. This chapter tells us, based on what I put on the back of your bulletin, how to live aware, live aware, live awake, and live active. My goodness. You realize that God wants no more sleeping Christians. He wants us awake and expecting. In this particular chapter, some clarification is needed, because the tendency is when people get their eyes off of Jesus and onto things such as persecution, which is what these Thessalonians were dealing with. In light of their persecution, they thought that the rapture had already happened, and perhaps that they were now in the day of the Lord. And I think people look at what's happening, say, in Australia, and you see a ring of fire around the country. It's like, is this the tribulation? Well, maybe it's a slight preview of the way things could look, but this is not the tribulation. We're not in it, and we're going to know it. Well, because we're going to be with Jesus, and there's going to be stuff going on the earth. We're going to know what's happening. And let's just take a look here, beginning at chapter 5. The apostle is giving very specific instructions of how to live and how to think. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Verse 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all of you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Amen. Wow. You think about what's here and what was provided for instruction, and that the urgent reminder in these closing words is that to make sure that this letter is read to all the churches. Okay? Scripture has a saving effect on us. Paul talked about reading Scripture publicly, because we want to hear God's words to us, that we would be able to understand them better, to be able to actually see what God is doing. And I think when you and I think of chapters that provide the believer with tremendous hope, encouragement, security, this would be one of them. See, a lot of people will come up with reasons in their life of why they either can't trust God, or if you only knew, Pastor, my life, if you only knew what I've been through. In other words, I'm an exception. I'm an exception. If you really knew me, you'd realize how vile I am, and you'd realize that I'm just sort of a wretch, and you wouldn't love me. But see, when Jesus comes and he washes, and his atoning sacrifice was provided so that every person on planet Earth could receive a perfect cleansing, a perfect washing. And then you go with that. Instead of us looking inward, which is oftentimes the look that will take you away from Jesus, how many times do we have to keep looking within to see something that we don't like? But if I keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith, I see more clearly. I develop 20/20 vision. I'm seeing clearly. I'm putting the glasses on more and more these days, people. The real glasses, they're helping. I came up the stairs this morning. I had the glasses on. I'm like, everything looks blurry. Okay, only when I get in front of print do I see better. But, you know, we think about this particular, see, the believer has to know what distinctions they are to make in their thinking when it comes to Christian living. When you read a passage of scripture like this, you've got to figure out what is Paul really establishing here for the believer to know what's not really coming for them. This chapter tells you of the hope that belongs to you as a Christian. This should be the, you know, I watched a little bit of the Baltimore and the Titans game last night, and I like that Mike Vrabel. I'm really like, I'm going for Mike, okay? I like to see Mike take them to the Super Bowl, and I'm just, you know, but I see these people cheering, and I see the, you know, the people, obviously the Baltimore fans are miserable, but you get that. I had a Patriots shirt on this morning before I put this shirt on. I got to tell you, I came up this ramp. I went out to my car. I'm like, I know how to dodge that flood coming off the roof. Yeah, really? Like 1 minute later, I needed just a little bit more soap. And then I was soaked. I'm finally dried out a little bit. Anyway. But, you know, you think about the cheering aspects of a game. You and I have so many reasons to cheer as believers. Substantial reasons to maintain the cheer. And yet so often in our broken world and what we feel like is our broken lives, we lose the desire to keep cheering and to look at that faithful group of witnesses. And I do not mean Jehovah Witnesses. Make sure somebody mailed me something to the church from Jehovah's Witness doctrine. I'm like, heresy right there. And I'm telling you, if they come knocking on your door, you have to ask them, who do they say Jesus Christ is? He is God in human flesh. And they will deny that. You cannot have fellowship with Jehovah's Witness. You can try to win them. You can try to speak to them. Go to the one who's with them, the younger one. You'll be able to instruct them better because the other one's already been in this for a long time and you're not going to persuade them. Once you establish that Jesus is God in human flesh, they're walking away. And so you need to realize that Christ is the only one who can save. And we uphold Jesus in this church. I love him. I don't get tired of proclaiming him because I know that in him I have everlasting life. And you do too. You have everything you need. The Bible says you and I have everything that we need in Christ Jesus. Everything to live this life effectively until we see Jesus. And this particular passage is helping us to see things that perhaps we ourselves could be distracted by. The pressures and the days and stuff going on in the world. And sometimes we just lose our way. And you as a Christian do not want to lose your way. You want to serve Jesus with a kind of like a burning fire. Like that those coals are just like that, those nice fires. Not smoky. You know, like you ever burn wet wood? And it gets in, that smoke starts to get into your living room if you're burning in the fireplace. And it's like, you know, you want a vibrant fire. And you want to learn to throw the right things on the fire that's going to keep your own heart warm. And the best look you can have one is a clear look at Bible prophecy. Guess what? We win! We win! We win! And if we think anything less than that, we've bought into satanic lies. Satan will try to use fear. Our enemy tries to throw fear in our face all the time. By the way, that just hurt. I'm like, oh man, I haven't worked those muscles in a long time. But we win. And I want you to look at a few verses of scripture based on this first point of how do you and I live aware? But concerning the times and seasons, this is a word in the Greek referred to as chronos. This is the things that God is allowing to happen right now on planet Earth. This is just what God has allowed to take place right now in His plan. Yes, we understand that Satan is the prince and the power of the air, but God is ultimately in complete charge. Sometimes it looks like, well, how could God let this happen? Well, see, that's why you and I as believers, we have nothing to fear. That's why the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you are fit for heaven. Right then and there. You didn't earn it. You didn't promise God that you're going to serve Him forever. I pray that we all have a desire to serve God forever and ever. We will serve Him forever and ever. But we want to get knowledge that is from the Word of God that we would be effective to live for Him. But the apostle points out here, but concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Right before this chapter that we looked at last Sunday was this whole promise of the rapture. And this chapter echoes once again that God has not appointed us to wrath. What is the tribulation period on the planet? It's a 7-year period, but in that is a time of wrath. God's wrath. The church, His bride, us, believers in Jesus, are going to be removed ahead of that. So this day of the Lord that is coming is essentially kicked off by the rapture. When the rapture happens, the day of the Lord begins. You might have two time frames in mind. You've got a 7-year period, and that period is mentioned many times, even in the Old Testament scriptures. But the rapture is this thing that was never mentioned in the Old Testament. Jesus didn't even, people think, oh, Jesus mentioned the rapture. He really didn't mention the rapture. He left that for the Apostle Paul to explain and clarify, and it was spelled out specifically in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and now it's led into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this day of the Lord starts with the rapture of the church. The moment the church is out of here, just think about this. Millions of believers across the earth. Whether they lived the best life that they should have lived for Jesus. See, God keeps His promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be saved. God keeps His promise. God also has a way of dealing with a reward system for those who trusted Him. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. When the church is taken off the planet, Jesus is going to do that. We talked about that last week, how Jesus literally will sweep down. He'll rapture those who've already died. They're going to be reunited with their body. Our body's going to be transformed in an instant, and we're forever to be with the Lord. Meanwhile, what's happening on the planet? Trouble. The first 3.5 years of that looks like a relative time of peace and safety. You know, perhaps they say, you know, all those Christians, they're finally like, oh, and who knows how they'll explain it away. Will it be alien abduction? They were all abducted in an instant. I mean, you might have various explanations of what happened to the people that were here. See, this is our guaranteed promise. And every believer should be thinking, because you're never, as a believer, not to be thinking this way. Because even though the rapture hasn't happened yet, God says it could happen for you. So it's not sign related anyway. It's not sign like, oh, well, when we see that happen, that must mean we're close. I do believe that there's things in this world presently that look like there's a setup happening. Like you see stuff happening within the Middle East. You see some of the stuff. But the rapture, it could have happened, as Paul's taught, could have happened in his day. This is every believer's hope, that you could see Jesus in your next breath. Before I'm done preaching, wow, we could be with the Lord. And so if you think otherwise, I believe you're ignoring what Paul has clarified for us here in this amazing chapter of hope. So we want to live aware in the sense that when we start to see stuff happening on the earth, our hearts are not to be fearful. Our hearts are to be expecting all the time, whether we see things or we don't see things. This is the healthy Christian. Like, you know, I get it. I'm not here forever. I mean, just in the last week, I hate to admit this a little bit, but I do consume news and I watch news and I'm like, you know what? It never really sounds any better than the day before. It just seems to be getting worse all the time. But you know what? That should not shake me. That should just remind me that we are living in a world that Christ came to save, and there's one way out safely. I took the exit. I got off the exit ramp. His name is Jesus. And I'm going to be with him forever. And I pray you are there too. I know many of you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't love the Lord. You wouldn't be here. Why would you do this? Week after week, do you realize the energy that it takes to even get all of these people in this building? A lot. A lot of us. So I want you to think just briefly that the tribulation period in the day of the Lord is kicked off by the rapture. The Christian church, the believers alive at that time, are gone. The next 7 years, for the first 3.5 years, relative time of peace and safety. And the Antichrist will make a false treaty with Israel, and he'll break it. And he'll demand to be worshipped in the temple that has been set up. God will then put out the last 3.5 years of that period is the time of great tribulation. It's known as the time of Jacob's trouble. The Jews will once again see Jesus for who he really is. They will look upon him whom they pierced, and they will realize they bought into a lie. And the whole world will have bought into the lie. Think about the messaging today. You think about where the apostle explains to us, like if a man is not willing to work, neither let him eat. You can't just live off of socialism. You can think like, oh my goodness, like why can't we just get everything for free? It doesn't work that way. You can't, you imagine the socialism that may be prevalent in that tribulation period. You can't buy or sell without a mark. You, believer, won't be here to get that mark. All right? But the point is, it will be a very difficult. They will do their best to organize. They will look like they finally obtained world peace. And God will pour out judgments upon this earth. Many people will get saved during that time, but it's a do or die time. You profess the name of Jesus in that day, basically you're done, or you're going to go into some form of hiding. Your life is going to be very difficult in those days. But see, the believer is going to be saved from that wrath to come, from that terrible day. And then, so you think about the day of the Lord, you got to think about it. It is this great tribulation, but it's also the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back to rule and reign. So we're looking at like 1,000 plus 7 years is the true day of the Lord. The first 7, really rough. Maybe the first 3.5 will look okay. The second 3.5, really, really rough. And then Christ is coming on a white horse. And he's going to reign forever and ever and ever. Just like we sing at Christmas time, that hallelujah chorus. We will be with him. When he comes back, we come with him. This is so awesome. We win. The believer wins all the time. If you die today and you know Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is a continual win-win victory for every believer. But see, we have to think in terms of how does God want this to happen? I love what this commentator said. The day of the Lord is a future period of time in which God will be at work in world affairs more directly and dramatically than he has been since the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time referred to by many in the Old Old Testament prophets. You could see this in Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 to 11. In Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. Zephaniah 1:14 to 18, and then Zephaniah 3:14 and 15. As these and other Old Testament verses indicate, the day of the Lord will include both judgment and blessing. The day begins immediately after the rapture of the church and ends with the conclusion of the millennium. This day is a major theme of prophecy with its fullest exposition in Revelation chapters 6 through 19. That's why when you can read through Revelation, you shouldn't be scared. You won't be here. See, this should bring great hope. A person will be here if they didn't call upon Jesus ahead of time. This is what motivates us. That's what we're working against, a deadline in one sense. The rapture could happen. I was in Connecticut yesterday, and the person that was my daughter's friend lives down there, and I got to see a friend who's been on hospice for a long time, and now he's off of hospice, and yet... But he lives 3 days a week on dialysis, and, you know, I don't get to see him that often. But when I returned back to pick up Amanda, I talked to the gentleman who had just, he's practicing now ahead of him doing the Appalachian Trail. Anybody know that the Appalachian Trail, if you commit to it, it's about a 6-month trip. This guy's committing starting mid-March. His name is Ken. You could pray for Ken. But he started a video blog of his preparation, and he plans to video blog all the way through. And he told me in his practice hike yesterday, he gave out 13 gospel tracts on the way up, just in the practice. And he says he's praying that God will use him. And I'm thinking, wow. And he said he's met more people. Many of them are recovering from heroin addiction. They're looking for a new start. So as you think, let's pray for these people. Maybe God wants to use Ken to win someone to Christ. I'm thinking, wow, what a way of turning a hobby into a ministry. You know, I don't know if Dennis bragged, but I think this was funny. Yesterday he saw somebody, or day before, with a shirt called Reconciled. He took it as an open door. It's like, that was a softball. You know, clobber that thing. Sometimes we have to look for open doors in these days. People are anxious. It is just a fact of life, people. We're living in anxious days. This day will begin when the world conditions appear. This is back to the beginning of the tribulation. This day will begin when the world conditions appear calm rather than calamitous. They say, the Bible says that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation is a relative time of peace and safety. Those Christians are gone. You know, the only thing we as believers are doing, we're holding back corruption in the world. You know, if the salt loses its saltiness, we don't want to lose our saltiness. We don't want to lose our effect. And yet the Holy Spirit is the great restrainer right now in the believer, in the church. Think about what the church, where the world would be without the church. Not that we're perfect, but thank God He is. And He's working in and through us. This peace will come with the signing of the 7-year covenant predicted in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Note that Paul did not include himself and his readers with the group who would see the day of the Lord, as he did when describing the rapture. We are those people who will be raptured. Evidently, them refers to those left behind at the rapture. That is non-Christians, non-believers. They will be ignorantly expecting peace and safety, but instead destruction will come upon them. It's like when that wake-up call, that 3 a.m., and it's suddenly 6, and you feel, oh my goodness, all this pressure now is upon me. And I think that's how we should be thinking, is how do you live wisely in this day? And Paul would go on to say, point number 2, to live awake, verses 5 to 11. Listen, I go with the fact that if you tell me you've called upon the name of the Lord, you are my brother and sister until we see Jesus face to face, and we're going to be forever with Him. He says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Jesus does the true cleansing in our lives. His finished work is so thorough and so complete and so perfect. The moment we trust Him, we are washed anew. The Bible calls us being born again. You were born again the moment you called on Jesus. I urge you, you do not have to be born again every day. All right, maybe you have to renew your mind in the fact that you are born again. But just as you were born once, you're born again once. You don't have to keep repeating stuff that God says. This is how it happens. God gives birth. When He gives life, He gives it forever. He gave you life the first time. He wants to give you everlasting life. And that life doesn't die. You will forever to be with Christ. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. The believer can become lethargic and careless. For those who sleep at night and those who get drunk, I really believe verse 7 is talking about unbelievers here. They do not care. They do not care about what's happening. You tell them that Jesus is the only way, and they either laugh at you or they snicker or they delay it. You know, it took me a number of years to actually really know that I was saved. In my teenage brain, I'm like, I have all this time. And I'll get around to it at some point. But you know what? The more I thought about it, I'm like, that's dumb. What am I thinking? Why would I delay? It's almost like Satan's number one lie is that God's going to withhold from you. That's Satan. Doesn't that go back to the garden? You know, he starts to mess with Adam and Eve in their very pure, perfect state, and Satan just comes in and he lies. And almost like God's withholding from you. He's not going to do what He said He'll do, and He doesn't want you like Him anyway. Or, you know, He wants you. He knows that if you eat this, you'll be like Him. Like almost like He's just, His instructions were not necessary. So we've all been snake bitten. We've all inherited sin, and it will have the same effect on every human being unless it's remedied by Jesus. And that is a lasting, eternal sacrifice that was made for the world. And when that sacrifice is embraced by a heart that says, I want Him and I want that for me, God says, I will use you. I will let your life be something that it would never have been without me. I love that. And so even when we mess up, we're like, I just know. I trust my Lord. I trust Him. So He says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day, meaning that we are of God's appointed program, His light in Jesus Christ. And how do we protect this? We put on this resembles a little bit of what happens in Ephesians chapter 6. Here it's referred to as the breastplate of faith and love. You know what? As you and I keep believing, it's an awesome thing that I get to help do, and I pray I do this to the best of my ability. I believe God is for you. And that's a statement of faith. I trust that I believe He is for you. I'm going to fight and help you see that He is for you. And He wants you to fight as well for the fact that you know that He is for you. That is believing. That is faith. That is trusting. You're not making it up. You're going on the record. If you ever doubt what God's love is, look at the cross. Then look at our perfect Savior who stepped out of heaven to this earth to occupy a little infant, to grow up completely sinless, and then to lay His life down upon that cross voluntarily. Jesus was not murdered. He voluntarily submitted to Roman crucifixion. And He did that for us. He did that to please His Father. And His one sacrifice is enough. It still remains enough. It is forever enough. And forever we will praise our wonderful Lord, because anything that good that comes out of my life is from Jesus anyway. That's the awesome thing. And so He says here, let us put on the breastplate of faith and love. See, that's why love can operate in the life of the believer. It's generated truly by the Holy Spirit. And then another helmet He describes here is the hope of salvation. Keep it on. Keep that thing protected. Put a helmet on. Right? Put the helmet on. Protect your brain from spiritual lies and satanic attack, because it's coming. Satan hates the fact that you believe God. But what else is our option? We believe Him. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Again, this is the guarantee that the believer will not go through that tribulation. but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, here it's repeated, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Do you realize there are Christians who are very weak that are going to be raptured? Be like, what happened? You were somewhat awake. You kind of forgot that you were cleansed from your past sins. See, God keeps His promises here. Some people teach a partial rapture that only the good faithful ones are going to go. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. God cannot deny Himself. When He does something, He's committed to that. Now, He will deal with the lethargic, sleeping believer at the judgment seat of Christ. And that person will realize what my life could have been. I played around with stupidity and sinfulness too much. And I don't want to do that. But it's too late. Those rewards that are now going to be given out, some will suffer loss. But you will be, God's clear here, you will be saved. You will have been saved. If you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you are fully saved. There is no depart from me, I never knew you. But how do we optimize this? How do we optimize this critical period that we have left to live for Jesus? The apostle gives out 22 commandments here to live vibrantly for Jesus till we see Him. When Jesus says, occupy until I come, I believe these are the best set of instructions you could ever obey. If we commit to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning from verse 12 on, in light of that we know that the rapture could happen at any moment, this is how you're going to save yourself from a wasted life, and me too. I point the finger right here at this guy. I'm just thankful that God continues to impress upon me how my life can be used for Him right now. What are we? Second week? Third week into 2020? Or second? We got 50 left. 50 weeks left. How are we going to live them? No guarantee that we even have the 50 because the rapture could happen. But he says here, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. In other words, trust your pastor. He's really there for you. He really cares for you. And this church has done an amazing job affirming my family for this work of this ministry. And for that, we are grateful. My family is grateful to Grace Lighthouse Church for how they have esteemed us and valued us. And you make it fun. Ministry should be fun and enjoyable, not just this burden. The pastor should want to come to church, right? Wife wakes up her husband one day. You got to get up. You got to go to church. He says, those people don't like me. And I don't like them. You're the pastor. Right? That's not my vocabulary, seriously. I look forward to getting up. Ask my wife. 5 o'clock, I'm up every Sunday morning. Rethinking these notes and what God would have me to speak. And yet you can always pray for me. You can pray for your Sunday school teachers. Pray for your children's Sunday school teachers. This is work. This is like turning over the soil. Anybody of us done gardening work, it's like that soil looks a lot easier to overturn. Sometimes is not. It's like, I didn't realize, and I'm feeling more and more my age, okay? So he says here, I spoke about that. So, and how the church can be healthy to be at peace. It is a good thing when a church is at a healthy place and that the members are at peace among themselves. Like, hey, you're a saint heading to heaven. So am I. Hey, let's get along. Let's work at this. The problem is, because there's still sin, and believers can still give the devil a foothold, sin can still come into the church. It can come in through bad attitudes. It can come in through loveless actions, selfishness, and those things affect the body. And so there are times where the church has to get very specific and to deal with that. Initially, we always do that privately and in love. Always. If it can't get changed there, then you bring a couple more people. This is affecting all of us. We urge you to stop. Not going to stop. After a while, if that doesn't get dealt with, it's going to cause a bitterness to rise up and defile many. And we lose. and we ignored a teaching of the Word of God that we should have paid much closer attention to. It's not because I'm trying to spoil people's fun and I stand for marriage between one man and one woman. I just go with what the Bible says, okay? That's what I believe. That's because I believe that's what the Scripture teaches. I'm not trying to spoil anybody's fun, but I also, not that I don't care, I do care, but I care more about the Word of God. I care more about trying to represent this to the best of my ability and show that, as the Scripture says, this is your reasonable service of worship. Honoring God with your body is a reasonable service of worship. You know how much sexual promiscuity we have today? We have so much access on the internet. People just go there because they're lonely, they're tired, and whatever. Get off the internet. Cut that cord. People can make, you don't, the Scripture says, don't make a provision for the flesh, because after a while, I've known men who had 25 years addiction to pornography. Hello? You think like it had to stay there for 25 years? Get help! Call the pastor! Let's pray! Let's surround you! Let's help you fortify your brain with God's amazing loving promises. He will always keep His promises to you. He will never stop loving you. But He also lets us reap what we sow. If we sow to the flesh, we can expect a crop coming that way. We don't have to sow to the flesh. That's why he would say here, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. There's a bunch of things going on here. Unruly could just be people who are just out of control and they're not really paying attention to what God wants. Maybe there's somebody faint-hearted in the church. We need to surround them. There's something here for everybody right here in this chapter. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Wow. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. We have to trust God for that. And sometimes that can be just a really difficult moment where it's like, I just want to pounce on this person because it seems like they're doing damage. And they're doing damage to me. They're doing damage to a lot of people. And I'm not saying that God can't use you to help that, but you don't take vengeance on them. That's what this is really saying here. It's not your place, because that affects your witness and mine as a church and as a believer. Sometimes you just have to leave it with God. You just leave it with Him. Lord, if I don't back off here, I'm going to get myself in some trouble. You please pray for me as your pastor, because there's a bunch of stuff I don't expect sometimes to run into. It's like, okay, how are we going to deal with this? Because I want to protect the flock, but I also want to be wise. I want to watch my own life. I want to make sure that I'm not letting this just upset me because I think they should know better. Patient with all, the Scripture says right here. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Wow. Tell you, this will only happen as a believer is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray as you're driving with your eyes open. In everything, give thanks. Maintain a thankful attitude. Wow, God, I didn't deserve any of this. If you just have a hard time being thankful, always look back to the cross. Maybe your new round of things to be thankful for will flow off of that, but that's always the first. Go back to the cross. Go back to what Jesus did for you. Think about His faithfulness. Count your many blessings, right? Name them one by one, right? Count your many blessings. See what the Lord has done. Look back on your life. Look back over 5 years ago. I'm like, how was that one going to work out? But God. That's important. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And here's what can happen. We can quench the Spirit. In other words, we can limit His effective ministry in our lives. Don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. When people start talking about, like I'm talking about the rapture, the day of the Lord, and this, and these promises that Jesus is going to keep, don't despise them. I mean, I've heard pastors say, you're a wimp if you don't want to go through the tribulation. You bet your life I'm a wimp. Because that day is unbelievable. But see, I'm going with the Bible says. I'm not going to be there for that. Nor is any believer who's alive on planet Earth at that time. So you're despising prophecies when you're not keeping them in their proper context. Well, now we're arguing with the Lord of the universe and the God of prophecy and the God of promise. and learn to test all things. Some people like will bring me a book and they're like, what do you think about this? Like, if I haven't read it, I don't necessarily know. But I do believe that a lot of Christians get involved in literature and sometimes well-meaning authors that are not always sound. It's like, and they start to treat that as authoritative as the Bible. Test it with Scripture. If somebody's telling you to keep confessing every last sin and you're forgetting what Jesus already did for you, you're spending time that God says, I've dealt with that. I've dealt with that. Go with the new territory. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Just stop beating yourself up. And if books are tearing you down or making you feel like you're an ineffective follower of Jesus, stay away from it. Go with the Word of God. Stay with the Scripture. This is my favorite book of all time. Okay, I just love this book. It is a bestseller. Regardless, it's bestseller. It is God's word, and I go with it. And I'm going to preach it every time. Hold fast to what is good. This is being committed to what is good. This is just, you know what you want your best instructions for this one. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. Whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, right? If there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind think on these things. Abstain from every form of evil. Sometimes this is an area for the Christian that can be very tricky. Like, well, God, what can I do? Can I still go to bars and have beer and all that stuff? And it gets, you know, people get confused on this stuff. I would just say that if you can't go into that place with confidence, don't go. If you're ashamed of somebody seeing you in that place, don't go. That's the type of thing. Sometimes we just have to be wise because you don't know. I mean, at times like Friday night, here I am. Drive up to a place, drop my wife at a store. I look up at someone I know. I'm like, hey. I'm like, I'm right there. That person's right there. And it's like, I didn't expect that meeting, but it was a wonderful meeting of fellowship in Jesus. Sometimes, and I'm not saying live paranoid, but make sure that how you're living isn't a stumbling block to other people. That's just an act of love. Okay, that's just the way it is. And that's what God wants. He wants His love operating through the Christian because He loves us. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Wow. This is what God does. He sanctifies us completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God so wants us thinking the way He already sees us. We want to cooperate with that. God is committed to doing what He said He's going to do. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. This is one of my first Bible verses because it was short. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. I learned this one early. Sometimes the simple verses are the ones to memorize. If God be for us, who could be against us, right? Doesn't take much. Anybody. You probably heard me say that enough. That's in your brain. I'm probably in your brain. You wake up, pastor's in my brain. While I'm on vacation, just think of those words. If you hear my voice, I'm with you, okay? Even better, God's with you. And brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with the holy kiss. Be careful. This is not always a lip kiss, okay? This can be a term of affection. It could be a term of kindness. We love the brethren. We love the sisterin. We love one another. We want to be properly affectionate. In this crazy world of Me Too movement and everything else, it's just be wise with your affection. I'm telling you, Satan looks for all types of footholds to destroy the church. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This letter started with grace and peace to you, and look at how it ends. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is Holy Spirit empowered service in this life. That's what the apostle's talking about. This is the type of stuff that will help us to get our new property occupied. Okay, let's take a look. Remember this picture? This was back on the 13th. I tell you, I really truly believe as we think in light of what we've just spelled out here, what's been spelled out for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there will be an eventual building on this property. Because we are, amen. We have to trust that God knows the hearts of this church, and He wants to build His church, and He wants to use this church to reach more people. Ben, how you doing, buddy? Ben lives in the neighborhood, heard that we're building a church. So, Ben's proof. Word's out. All right. It's awesome. So pray for us as we're away, as my family is away. My family and I need some downtime for the next couple of weeks. Please pray for us. I've already have several contacts into a number of different local organizations here. An organization that will help us to think about how do we actually raise the funds. A Christian organization who's helped many churches. How do we, and when we come back, we'll be back here at the end of January. February 3rd, I'm going to start preaching from 2 Thessalonians. We'll be having a meeting early February, church-wide, that we will update you on our progress and where we're going. Things that we've accomplished so far, but things that we still need to do in sort of this next phase. And so we're trusting that God's going to do this. I'm so thankful for what God has done. I don't want to take any of it for granted, but I also want to expect Him that as we are committed to being the people He tells us to be right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that He's committed to blessing us. He will help us get to the place that He wants us to be. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your faithful love to us. Thank You for Your kindness in every way that You've given to us. Thank You that everybody who's here today, Lord, thank You for their wanting to know Jesus, wanting to be more in His, just knowing Him better, loving Him more. I pray, Lord, that You will bless all that has been shared today for Your glory, Your honor, that we would stay truly alive in the Spirit, that we would remain awake, alert, that we would live an active Christian life. Maybe someone this morning says, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm just kind of confused. And I just let life beat the daylights out of me. And somehow I'm not keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. And I need prayer for that. Anybody here this morning that says, that is me, raise your hand. I want to pray for you right now. Anybody here? Anybody here says, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not as fixed as I should be upon Him. I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to see that hand. I'm going to thank God for it, and I'm going to ask God to help you. Anybody this morning, I see those hands. Thank you. That's awesome. And if there's somebody here this morning that's never trusted Christ, never actually said, I know that I'm going to be with Jesus forever, and that's you. And if you've already done that, just let that be settled. But if you haven't done that, let this be your day. Anybody here this morning who says, I want to know that I'm saved. And we want to pray with you. We want you to know Christ. And I want to help. Others want to help. Anybody this morning, I'm going to pray for everybody and dismiss us in just a moment. Father, thank You for the hungry hearts that are in this church. I can't thank You enough for what You're doing. I praise You for Your faithfulness. I praise You for Your solid word. I thank You for this amazing church that You're blessing. I pray for every believer here this morning, especially those who said, Pastor, I am of that group that seems to get my eyes off of Jesus. I pray for them, Lord. I want to thank You for them. I pray that that honest heart would say, you know what? I'm just going to keep speaking with my Lord who loves me. And I'm going to talk to Him more and more. I'm going to pour out my heart. I'm going to surround myself with believers who love Him. And if I don't know anybody, I'm going to find some. I'm going to ask God to help me find them through this local church. We just praise You, Lord, this morning. Father, thank You for what You've done in the life of this church. We do trust You for 2020. Help us to have 2020 vision, real clear vision about all that we're supposed to do through the help of Your Spirit. We love You, Jesus. Thank You for what You've done for us. In Your name I pray.